Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the living word, Jesus Christ. And we pray that Jesus would speak to us, that his spirit would be present, stirring our hearts, that he would move deeply in our lives, that you would place within our hearts a new hope, a new confidence, a new courage, that the things of eternity would crowd out the things of time, that the things of heaven would overshadow the things of earth, that our hearts would rejoice in the glory of a new heavens and a new earth. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it was a day of rejoicing, a day of joy. The Brazilian soccer team, Chapecoense. And my Brazilian friends have to forgive me. Chapecoense. Yeah, I was close. Chapecoense. City Chapeco. That brother is one of our students. He is the evangelistic coordinator for a conference in Brazil. His conference baptized 2,000 last year. He's with us studying evangelism. The British-made Airways, British Aerospace 146, took off from Santa Cruz, Bolivia. And on that plane, there was a dream story, a Cinderella team. This team from Chapeco, Brazil, was playing for the South American Cup Championship. Now, if you know anything about football or soccer, you know that that was an exciting day for that team. As they took off from Santa Cruz, Bolivia, they did not know that they were moments from death. Within minutes of being in the air, that airplane began to plummet. It had run out of fuel, which is absolutely unthinkable, and crashed over Medellin, Colombia, in a mountain remote area. There was wreckage everywhere. In fact, one of the first rescue workers on the scene, Camilo Tobin, described the approaching the wreckage near midnight, and she said, "The first thing I saw was the tail. It was completely shattered. There was baggage everywhere." And then when Jennifer Cordona, a firefighter, came to the scene, she said, "We wondered, was anybody still alive? Then we heard voices. Then we heard people crying in pain. They were trapped in that airplane." Out of the 77 people aboard, 71 were instantly killed, including 21 journalists. The funeral service was prepared for Chapeco, and it was prepared in a large stadium. That stadium seats 45,000 people. They jammed 70,000 people in the stadium. And the coffins were rolled into the stadium, coffin after coffin after coffin. There were about 50,000 people that could not get into the stadium. 120,000 people came, that little town of Chapeco. When Seventh-day Adventists heard of that tragedy, they went into action. And Adventists by the hundreds came to that stadium. By the thousands. It was raining that day. It was a cold, rainy day. And the Adventists came. Because the Adventists had hope. That's the spirit of Adventism. It is the spirit of hope. Adventists are a people of hope. So they gathered there outside that stadium. And as people walked in with tears streaming down their face, they hugged them. And they said, "My brother, my sister, there's a better day coming." In addition to that, they gave out a book called The Great Hope that would inspire people's hearts. But these Adventists in Brazil are creative. And so they got the idea, let's do something practical. Let's give a bottle of water to everybody walking into the stadium. But let's do something special. Adventists in Brazil are willing to work all night for soul winning if necessary. They got thousands of bottles of water. And they peeled the labels off the bottles of water. And they made a specially new label that they got done in 48 hours, and they had this glue on the back of this label. They put the Adventist logo on it, and they put a Bible text on that label. You know what the Bible text was? Take your Bible, please. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Here is the text that gives so much hope. Here is the text that gives so much encouragement. Here is the text that thousands received in that day of sorrow. In a day of sorrow, you're looking for hope. In a day of sorrow, you're looking for joy. In a day of sorrow, you want something to lift your heart and encourage your spirit. Here is the text that was on the label of thousands of bottles of water. It encouraged their hearts then, and it'll encourage your heart today. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Thousands of Brazilians entering into that stadium that day had their hearts encouraged by a text in Revelation. The Bible begins with a perfect world, and it ends with a perfect world. In Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, the Bible describes this perfect world. In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, it describes the new Eden, the new heavens, and the new earth. We want to spend time this morning studying Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 4. So if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4 will be our study this morning hour. John, in prophetic vision, looks up into the heavens. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old polluted earth had passed away. The old sin-corrupted earth was gone. I saw new heavens and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. John was exiled on the island of Patmos. And for John, the sea was separation from those whom he loved. Separation from his family. Separation from his friends. Separation from his loved ones. John, isolated on the island of Patmos, looked out over that sea, and he saw the sea as separation. So he writes, there will be no more sea, no more separation for those that you love, no more separation from that child that has died in childbirth, no more separation from that father that you've laid in the tomb, no more separation from that mother that you long to embrace again, no more separation from that brother, their sister, there will be no more sea. Now, there's something else about the sea that John means when he writes here, and it's this. The sea was a place of danger. The sea was a place of fear. The sea was a place of trouble. You see, the ancients had no compasses. The ancients had no computer navigation. The ancients, when they sailed on boats, would always sail near land. And if you have ever done much sailing before and you sail near land, you recognize that there are often rocky jetties that come out from land. And so there were many, many sea wrecks. And when a woman wished her sailor husband goodbye going out into sea, she knew that the dangers were so great she may never see him again. In fact, we have read in ancient first century literature about sailors sailing on the bottom of the Peloponnesus, that is on the outer tip of Greece, and the writing went like this: he who sails around the southern tip of Greece should make out his will first, because he may never come back again. What did John mean when he said there shall be no more sea? One of the things he meant is no more separation for those that your loved ones. But there's another thing he meant. No more fear. No more danger. No more terrifying worry about death or anxiety. Everything that troubles you, everything that bothers you, everything that brings pain into your heart, everything that creates fear in your life, that will be gone again. Praise God. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, what kind of voice?
Loud.
What kind of voice?
Loud.
I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This earth, so corrupted by sin, this earth so defiled by sin, this planet in rebellion will be made over again by God. Now there's a loud voice from heaven that announces the tabernacle of God is with men. Here is an announcement before the universe that God is moving his dwelling place. Today, all the planets revolve around the throne of God. And from the cosmic control center of the universe, God gives commands. And he says to the sun, rise, and it rises. He says to the sun, set, and it sets. He says to the tides, you come this far and go no further. He causes the seasons to come, one right after the other. From the cosmic control center of the universe, God rules in planets, rules the universe. He sends his angels on journeys afar to planet after planet, to star after star. From the cosmic control center of the universe, God controls everything. But here is an announcement. You see, every planet revolves around the throne of God. But not only this solar system, all of the worlds and the unfallen worlds flow around the throne of God in a great circular fashion. But here is an announcement. The cosmic control center of the universe is changing. God is going to take this planet in rebellion, and the holy city will descend, the tabernacle of God, and the Shekinah glory of God will come here, and God will take this polluted planet. God will take this planet so defiled by sin. God will take this rebellious planet. God will take this poverty-stricken planet. God will take this war-torn planet. God will take this corrupt planet, and he will make it over again like the Garden of Eden, and it will be the dwelling place of God. Here, the tabernacle of God will be again, and this planet will be the center of the universe, and we will travel with Jesus as prince and princess in this new world. We'll travel to worlds afar and give our testimony of the greatness of God. Here, a loud voice announces to the whole universe, the tabernacle of God is coming down. Now that concept, the tabernacle of God, comes from the Old Testament. It is the Shekinah glory of God. Israel, throughout its thousands of years of history, looked forward to the time that the tabernacle of God, the Shekinah glory of God, that his presence would overflow from the tabernacle throughout Israel. We find this in Leviticus 26. If you have your Bible, turn back to Leviticus 26. All the teachings of the Old Testament find their fulfillment in the book of Revelation. All the teachings of the Old Testament about the new heavens, the new earth, the tabernacle of God, the coming of the Messiah. You're looking at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11 and 12. Here God says to Israel, and this promise in Leviticus 26 is fulfilled in the new heavens and the new earth that God's going to create. Leviticus 26, verse 11 and 12. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk, verse 12, Leviticus 26, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Now notice what God says to Israel. He says, my tabernacle is going to dwell among you, and I'm going to walk among you. You will be my people. Did you notice the intimacy of the terms in Revelation 21, verse 3. I'd like you to notice that because it's easy to miss it in the Scripture. I'd like you to notice the intimacy of the terms. Verse 3. And verse, concentrating on that verse right now. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God." What is the tabernacle of God? The dwelling place of God, where God has his Shekinah glory. Verse 3, Revelation 21. And the text says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them." Where will God be? Dwelling with his people. "They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God." Here, God promises a day that is coming when he will dwell with us, when he will walk with us and talk with us, when we will see his face, when our hearts longing for God will be satisfied. In every human being, there is a longing for God. In every human heart, there is a desire to know the eternal. We are made for our Maker. We are created as friends of God for fellowship. We have hearts which are His. And deep within our hearts there is that longing to know God. One day, the holy city will descend. One day, the tabernacle of God will fill earth with the Shekinah glory of God. One day, Jesus will walk with His people. One day, Jesus will fellowship with his people. One day, that insatiable desire that we have to know God will be filled as we are with God. Now, in the Bible, there are at least three temples. There is the temple that Solomon built in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament sanctuary that had the Shekinah glory of God, that was a symbol of the New Jerusalem that will come down at end time with the Shekinah glory of God that will fill the whole earth. So we see in the Old Testament sanctuary a foreshadowing of the New Jerusalem temple that will come down. So that's two temples, right? The Old Testament sanctuary, the New Jerusalem, but there's another temple. The Bible says, you are what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. So just as God, with his Shekinah glory, longed to live in the Old Testament temple, and just as the Shekinah glory will be manifest in the new earth, God longs to fill your heart today with his Shekinah glory. And the people that will live in the new heavens and the new earth are the people who long for the Shekinah glory of God to live in their hearts today. They are people who long for the presence of God. For them, the most important thing in life is not material possessions. It's not cars or homes or a job, as significant as those are. But they long for the presence of God in their life. There's a book written by Tommy Tenney. It's called Experiencing God's Presence. And he really describes this inner desire. He really describes this passion to know God. And he writes in such poignant, such powerful terms. He says this, "Lord, my soul aches at the mere mention of your name. My soul leaps at every rumor of your coming and each possibility that you will manifest your presence. I'm not satisfied with mere spiritual dainties. I'm ravenously hungry for you and your fullness. I'm desperate to feed on the bread of your presence and quench my thirst with the wine of your spirit." Is that your desire this morning? Do you have this longing in your heart to know God? Do you have this longing to go deeper? Is that heart hunger? God wants to reveal his Shekinah glory in your life. And that is a foretaste of the Shekinah glory he'll reveal when he comes again. Bathed in his love, satisfied in his presence, resting in his care. One day, we'll be at peace with Him. The desire to know God that He puts in our hearts today is an ever-growing, larging, increasing desire that will never fully be satisfied until the day we walk and talk with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. Revelation 21, verse 3, describes the longing of every human heart to be fulfilled with the presence of God that will come when Jesus Christ returns and ultimately the new heavens and the new earth comes. We continue looking at our text, asking God, what do you have for me here today? God mentions in verse 4 the problem of pain and the problem of suffering and the problem of death that will finally be solved. Revelation 21, you're looking there at verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, when you look at that, you may not catch the richness of it. I was looking at that just last night in the original text. You know, the New Testament is written in the Greek language. And there's a little nuance in Greek that you may miss in English. It says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Greek is more specific than that. The original text of the Bible is more specific. And this is what the original text says. Every single tear will be wiped away absolutely. I love that, don't you? It's like Jesus sits next to you and He draws you close to His breast and He says, I know every time you ever cried. I know every time your heart was ever broken. I know every time you ever had the sword of sorrow pierce your heart. And I'm going to take my love and I'm going to take one tear at a time and I'm going to wipe that away. And when I wipe away every single tear, they are wiped away absolutely. There is no sorrow left. We're back to our text. Revelation 21, verse 4. The scripture says there in the fourth verse, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. In this new heavens and earth, there would be just joy and gladness. Isaiah 65. See, the New Jerusalem is the fulfillment of all the hopes and all the dreams of Israel. It is the fulfillment of the desire of all humanity through the ages. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah 65, verse 19. The promises of the Old Testament come to fulfillment when the New Jerusalem descends from heaven to earth. Isaiah 65, verse 19. Let's go back and look at 17, 18, and 19. Remember Revelation 21 talked about the new heavens and the new earth in verse 1? And remember it talks about no sorrow, no difficulty? Well, what is happening in Revelation 21 is that John is giving us the fulfillment of all the hopes, the fulfillment of all the desires, the fulfillment of humanity down through the ages. Isaiah 65, verse 17, 18, and 19. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Did we read that in the book of Revelation, folks? Yes. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Did we read that in Revelation? Yes. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of what? Weeping shall be no longer be heard in here, nor the voice of crying. Every heart will be satisfied. The longings of men and women down through the ages will be fulfilled. From the time Adam and Eve sinned, from the time the first tear was fulfilled, and from the time the first sorrow pierced the heart, from the time of that first sin, human beings have been filled with sorrow and disappointment, and sickness and suffering and disease and heartache or death. But Jesus says the desires of all ages will be fulfilled. Revelation 21, when the new heavens and the new earth come. Look at Isaiah 35, verse 10. Isaiah 35, verse 10. Revelation 21 is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Every tear wiped away. Isaiah 35, verse 10. the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. What's Zion? The New Jerusalem. The ransomed of the Lord. Who are they? The men and women that have been resurrected with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will do what? Flee away. When the New Jerusalem descends, hearts will be satisfied. We will walk and talk in fellowship with Jesus. His presence will be with us eternally. Every tear will be wiped away. There will be no more pain or suffering or heartache or death. Death can strike so suddenly. We are just finished. An It Is Written board meeting of It Is Written television. And our staff was leaving on a series of appointments here in the East Coast. We're in California. I was tired, really tired. And our staff van was going to go in from Thousand Oaks, California, travel down onto the 101 and out to LAX. And I said to my staff, look, I'm tired. I'm going to take a later flight. I can still get to D.C. on time. We had meetings in D.C. So the van took off. They left at about 4:15 in the morning, 4:30. They wanted to catch a 7 o'clock flight. It was about an hour to LAX. When I got up after my devotions, I quickly turned on the news to see how the traffic was on the 101 to see what time I had to leave. And a news report came on that said, there's been a terrible accident on the 101. Multiple people are in the hospital, and there's been one fatality. Right away, my stomach was in knots. Right away, my heart was pounding, and I did some inquiring, and I found out that it was our van. I knew I had one staff member dead, and I knew I had four in the hospital. I immediately contacted the daughter of the person who was with my associate who was in the van. Some of you know him, Pastor Bob Spangler. Great preacher, great man of God, worked in the General Conference for many years. When he retired, he joined me at It Is Written as an associate. I contacted his daughter, and I said, let's go to the hospital. We were in the car, and we got the call from the coroner while I was in the car that her dad had been tragically killed, that her mother was in the hospital, and I had three other staff members in the hospital. I talked to Pat, Elder Spangler's daughter, and we met her sister, and I said, do you want me to go in and tell your mom, who's lying in a hospital bed now without life-threatening injuries, do you want me to tell her that your dad has been killed? Because she didn't know, you know. I had people in four hospital rooms at the same time. Well, would you rather tell her? They said, Pastor Mark, we need your support. You stand outside the door. We'll tell her at the appropriate time. So they did. I comforted Marie, went to visit my varying friends that were in the hospital staff and trying to really encourage them. It was a number of months later when I was visiting with Bob Spangler's wife, Marie, and she said this to me. She said, Pastor Mark, you know what's going to happen? I said, no, what's going to happen? She said, you know this Revelation passage, or she said something like, it really has encouraged me so much, there'll be no more crying, no more tears. And she said, you know, I'm clinging to the hope of the resurrection, that I can see my Bob again. And you know how Jesus says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Well, Bob is going to come up out of the grave. And you know, Pastor Mark, there's no passage of time in the grave, and I'll receive my immortal body, he will have his immortal body, and he'll take my hand and he'll say, Marie, let's go to that It Is Written appointment where I'm going to preach. We're on our way. And I will say, no, Bob, we're not on our way to an It Is Written appointment. We're on our way to heaven. Let's go. What does Jesus say in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more pain or suffering. There will be no more what, everybody? Death. Death will be a thing of the past. No more phone calls in the night of that terrible car accident. No more fatalities from cancer. No more bombs dropped and people annihilated with war. But Revelation chapter 21 goes on. Look, please, at Revelation chapter 21. You're looking there at verse 4, last part of verse 4. Revelation chapter 21. What did we learn so far in Revelation 21? We've learned, number one, that God is going to turn this universe into his home. A new Eden will be created. The tabernacle of God will be here. We will walk and talk in fellowship with God. Every longing of our heart will be satisfied. Number two, there is no pain, suffering. Every tear will be wiped away. Number three, notice, look, verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no crying nor sorrow. There shall be no more pain, last part of the verse. For the former things have passed away. Those memories. You know, somebody said to me once, life is fair. True or false? Life is fair. Life isn't fair, but God is. There's a great deal of injustice in this world. How would you like right now to be living in Aleppo, Syria, with bombs dropping? Did you choose to be born in Syria? Did you choose to be one of those children there when the bomb drops that just blew off your legs? Was that your choice? What if you were born to parents that were HIV positive, and you developed AIDS as the result of actions that your mom did or father did? Is that fair? Is it fair when I walk down the streets of India in poverty-stricken ghetto slums and have children hold my feet begging for morsels of food? Is that fair? Is it fair when a godly woman has her husband come home drunk and he beats her up and hits her in the nose and breaks it and she feels the warm blood running down her face and catches it with her tongue? Is that fair? Is it fair when children are born with birth deformities? Is that fair? What chance do they have? Is the world that we live in a fair world? It is not a fair world. But is God fair? Whatever circumstance one finds themselves in life, there are two hopes. One, that whatever your tragedy or trial, if you've been abused as a young girl, if you have been abused as a boy, whatever you have gone through, whatever sorrow or difficulty or heartache, in proportion to the amount that we suffer is in proportion to the amount that God will manifest his presence as we look into his face. God will give you hope and encouragement in ways that you can never possibly imagine. Life is not fair, but God is fair. That's one thing. But there's another thing. This life may be 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, or 90 years. And what God is saying in Revelation 21, verse 4, the last part is this. The former things are going to pass away. That all of the injustice is going to be gone. That we may go through things that are unfair for a short period of time. But we can live with God millions and trillions of years. And God is going to set every single thing right. God will set every single thing right. Every wrong ever done to you, all the injustice that you've ever faced in your life, God is supreme. God rules on his throne, and God will set that right. So what hope do I have when I face injustice? I have two hopes. Number one, that I need not become bitter and angry and ruin my life. I can grasp the reality that Christ's presence is still with me. He has a plan for my life. I can grasp the reality that the former things will be passed away. And that he will take all of the injustice and everything that's thrown at me, and he will make it right in eternity, and I can live close to his throne for millions of years. But there's one more thing. There's one more thing. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. What do we see here? The presence of God in the new heavens and the new earth filling every heart. What do we see here? God wiping away every tear, no pain, suffering, death. What do we see here? We see a God who will set everything right. Verse 5. And we see a God that will make all things new. Revelation 21, verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are what? True and what? Faithful." These words are true. Jesus will live with us and dwell with us for all eternity. These words are true. Every tear will be wiped away and every pain will be gone. These words are true. He'll make everything right. These words are true. He's creating a new heaven and a new earth. God has something better for us than the pain, the sorrow, the difficulty of this world. One day, worry and want and war will be over. One day, sorrow and suffering and sickness will be over. One day, disease and disaster and death will be over. One day, chaos and conflict and confusion will be over. One day, tears and tragedy and terror will be over. One day, pain and poverty and pollution will be over. One day, horror and heartache and hunger will be over. One day, hallelujah, Jesus will return. There will come a day when every longing will be fulfilled. There will come a day when every question will be answered. There will come a day when every need will be satisfied. There will come a day when every desire will be fulfilled. There will come a day when every disease will be healed. There will come a day when every war will cease. There will come a day when every pain will be subdued. There will come a day when every tear will be dried. There will come a day when every heart will be healed. There will come a day when every relationship will be mended. There will come a day when every tragedy will be over. There will come a day when every crisis will be gone. There will come a day that Jesus will return. There will come a day when John's vision will become a reality. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no more sea. No more tears or crying or pain. For the former things are passed away. And until that day, we live in hope. Until that day, we live with the promise burning in our hearts. Karen Watson had that promise burning in her heart. She became a missionary to Iraq in 2003 in the height of the Iraq War. Karen Watson dedicated herself completely and totally to serving Christ and meeting humanitarian needs in that Iraq war. She was there for almost a year, ministering to human need, sharing Jesus Christ with people. And she was in a car with three others, and this godly missionary was ambushed. As she was ambushed, she lost her life by the assailant's bullet. 1 year before, just before she left for Iraq, she wrote a letter. And she wrote that letter to her pastor. And that letter was only to be read upon her death. The letter is dated March 7, 2003. She was killed on March 24, 2004. And I want to read to you the letter that Karen Watson wrote in a sealed envelope to her pastor. And she said to the pastor, "Only open this letter if I'm martyred in Iraq." Here's her letter. "Dear Pastor Phil, and Pastor Roger." Pastor Roger was the associate pastor. A letter dated March 7, 2003. "You should only be opening this letter in the event of my death. When God calls, there are no regrets. I tried to share my heart with you as much as possible. My heart for the nations. She had a heart for lost people. Then she goes on, I wasn't called to a place. I was called to him. To obey was my objective. To suffer was expected. His glory was my reward. His glory, my reward. Then she goes on, I thank you for your prayers. In regard to my funeral service, keep it simple. Just preach the gospel. And then she lists, she wants to have a gospel song sung. Then she says, she quotes from a book called The Missionary Heart. And this was her heart longing. She says, I want to care more than some think is wise. I want to risk more than some think is safe. I want to dream more than some think is practical. I want to expect more than some think is possible. I was not called to comfort or success, but I was called to obedience. Then she concludes, there is no joy outside of knowing Jesus and serving him. I love you too, and I love my church family. What would prompt a woman to go to Iraq knowing that she was facing death to go? There was something deeper in her heart. She knew that one day she'd see Jesus. She knew that one day she'd walk and talk with Christ. She believed that one day the holy city would come down. She knew that one day all the pain and suffering of life would be over. She knew that one day every tear would be wiped away. She was willing to give her life for something that mattered. A songwriter got a hold of her letter, and he wrote a song. Our choir's going to sing it, but I want to read you the chorus. This is based on her letter. His glory is my reward. God's glory is the only thing I'm living for. To obey is my objective. My suffering is expected. My life is the Lord's. His glory, my reward. His glory, my reward. When we live for the glory of God, we will see his glory in the new heavens and the new earth. When we live for the glory of God, we'll see his glory in the new heavens and the new earth. Let's listen as they sing. Thank you. high reward. Have your prayer sheets that you filled out in your hand, would you fold them in half and pass them to the aisle? God knows every name. He not only wants to fill our hearts in eternity, He wants to fill our hearts now. He not only wants to wipe away every tear in eternity, ushers, you can just walk right up the aisle, pass your sheets to the aisle, and once you fold them in half and pass them there, the ushers are going to bring them to me. We're going to pray over them. God knows every tear. God knows every pain. God wants us to have an experience with Him that is far greater, far deeper than we could imagine. God wants to place in our hearts this longing for eternity so the things of earth grow strangely dim. The beauty about the gospel is this, that every human being is precious to God. Every human being is important to God. What seems insignificant at times to other human beings that's important to us is important to God. You may have checked on this paper tonight that you have a greater desire to know Christ. Thank you so much. Are we missing any? Did somebody fill one out? Yeah, there's some here. Thank you. You may have checked that you have a greater desire to know Christ. We're going to be praying for you all week that God will place that desire in your heart. You may have checked on this sheet that you have a problem in your life and you want that problem solved. We're going to be praying for you all week, this prayer week. We believe the power of God is going to come down, that God's going to touch people's lives and hearts in special ways. You may have a sickness, and we're going to be praying for you this week that God will strengthen you in that sickness. You may have in your life a desire to be baptized. You've been coming, a young person, an adult. We want to counsel with you. There may be somebody that's drifted away and you have a desire to be rebaptized. We want to talk to you. Let's pray together as I hold these up before Jesus. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here at Living Oak Church that have this desire to know you, that have this deeper desire to go even into more depth in your word. Thank you that you know every need. You know our family members that don't know Christ. Lord, we pray for them right now. We lift them up. Send your spirit to them. You know that some of us may be afflicted. Lord, we know that in the new heavens and the new earth, there'll be no sickness at all. We know that one day we will be healed. But Lord, we'd love to see that miraculous healing now as well, if that is your will. So moved by your spirit. There are some who are longing for baptism, to be part of this fellowship. Father, I pray you'd bless them. And there are others, Father, who may have drifted sometime. They've been coming back to Living Hope, and they just sense it's time for a new start to be rebaptized. Lord, bless them as well. Bring us to our fellowship dinner for a time of great rejoicing. It reminds us of the table of the new heavens and the new earth. And then bring us back this afternoon at 2:30 for another visioning meeting. In Christ's name, amen. Enjoy lunch. Why don't you sing something as the folk are going out today? Choose any song you want to sing. They want you to sing Amazing Grace. Do you know it? Oh, these folk are talented. You can be leaving, but have the song of Amazing Grace singing, ringing in your heart or in your ears. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm what? Now I'm what? I'm found. So you can be going out, you know, it's not a choir concert, but I want that to be singing in your ears. Thank you.
Been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.